Adonai said to Aaron, "Go into the desert to meet Mose." He went, met him at the mountain of God, and kissed him. Mose told him everything Adonai had said in sending him, including all the signs he had ordered him to perform. Then Mose and Aaron went and gathered together all the leaders of the people of Israel. Aaron said everything Adonai had told Mose, who then performed the signs for the people to see. The people believed. When they heard that Adonai had remembered the people of Israel and seen how they were oppressed, they bowed their heads and worshipped. If you'd like to follow along, we're in Exodus 5. We're going to do a lot of paraphrasing. We're going to be going between Exodus 5 and Exodus 12. We're talking about when God walked with man. We talked about how he walked in the coolness of the day with Adam. We talked about how he walked with Enoch. And one day they were closer to God's house and Enoch went home with him. We talked about Abraham. We talked about Noah. We talked about men that had special relationships with God and actually walked with him. Our word of encouragement last week was on Mose. And we talked the week before about how Moses was going to actually be killed by God because he had not circumcised his sons. And we made the point that even though you're God's chosen, you can still come under God's punishment because you're not walking in his way. Not eternal punishment, but temporal punishment. God chastens those who he loves. Then we talked about how last week it didn't matter how old you were. A lot of people really say, "Well, I wish I'd found the Lord sooner." But do what you can with the time you have left. Because Mose didn't see the burning bush till he was almost 80 years old. He was an Egyptian till he was 40. Now, you want to put that in terms you'll understand. It's sort of like if somebody came to belief later on in life, to use the regular word saved, okay? Somebody came in later in life and they remember all the years they wasted in Satan's camp. Well, guys, that's behind you. God's nailed that to the cross. Let it go. What you concentrate on now is what you can do with the time you got left. Serve him now. Don't worry about the time you wasted. You can't bring that back. But you sure can make every day count from now forward. So it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 13, 16, 15, 25, 45, 75, 85, 90, doesn't matter. Use what God's got for you for the rest of your life to serve, honor, and glorify him. That was the word from last week. What we try to do is we try to cap everything off with a special meaning for what we're talking about. We don't want it to just be a history lesson. We want it to become real to you. What I want to talk about tonight, and you're going to remember this from Pesach. Who here has been to a Passover? Okay, here's been to one of our Passovers. That was a really important one. Everybody else that might not be even. All right. Though I do think we have a pretty fun Passover, but that's another issue. I want to talk about Moses facing Pharaoh tonight. I want to talk about the plagues. Okay? So y'all are going to remember this from Passover because we actually went through the plagues very quickly. We're going to go over it a little bit more time tonight. Chapter 5, after that, Mose and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Here is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go. Let my people go." Now, Pharaoh, you got to think about this for a second. You sort of wonder, first of all, did Pharaoh even know it was Moses? Remember, that Pharaoh had already died, so it's possible this guy didn't even know Moses. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Of course, in the movie, the Prince of Egypt, it was like he was raised with him and they were best buds, you know. Scripture doesn't necessarily say that was true. Rabbinical commentary does not go to that level either. That was a little bit of Hollywood there, but that's okay. Made for a great movie. But the point is, they go in front of the most powerful king of the universe, or excuse me, of the world at that time, the known world. Because remember, Egypt was huge. Egypt was predominant world power at that time. There was no Roman Empire yet. This is long before Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar was even thought about. Okay? So Pharaoh was the most powerful ruler on earth. And remember how he got that way? He got that way thanks to a little help from God and Joseph. Okay? Something about some grain. Remember that? Okay. So here's Pharaoh, who doesn't even know he's gotten his exalted power because of God. And he's looking down. He's probably looking down at Moses. And I bet you he's got the look. It's the look the judge gives you when you walk into court and he thinks you are a low-life scum. He's like, who are you to come in here and tell me what to do? He probably had a little ego. Nah, Pharaoh wouldn't have an ego, would he? This is the same guy that tried to kill all the Hebrew children. So the guy was not exactly going to make the Tin Top Dads of the Year award or anything, you know? Pharaoh's like, I don't even know this God you're talking about. Now, by normal characteristics now, it's really unusual to hear God's most holy name mentioned. But if you have a complete Jewish Bible, you'll notice that the way that Adonai is written there is all capitals. That means he has actually substituted the most holy name of God for Adonai, because he only uses the tetragrammaton Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh four times in there out of reverence. It's only when it becomes rhetorical. In this case, he's actually substituting Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So this belief that you cannot say the most holy name of God is not scripturally substantiated. The most holy name of God is to be used with reverence. Not used. I sort of liken it to somebody not wanting to use your name, but he's your best friend. It's like, you know, it just doesn't seem right somehow. But it's got to be used out of respect. Okay? You don't use it as a curse word. You don't use it lightly in passing. But to teach it and talk about God in reverence, it's okay to use the tetragrammaton. Okay? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay? Now, the simple request is, let our people go out 3 days and sacrifice. Now, it's very interesting. God said he was going to make Pharaoh's heart hard. Now, you get a lot of arguments with people on the old argument of predestination, election, versus free will. See, God made Pharaoh's heart hard. That's true, he did. Absolutely true. And I can stand before you right now and tell you, predestinationism is absolutely 100% correct. Now, everybody that's now mad at me, that's all the Armenians in here, I can also tell you free will is absolutely correct. But you have to understand something. In Hebrew thought, they are not contradictory. They are not contradictory. So this 2,000-year-old argument is a non-argument. In God's mind, both are true. God's so much bigger than us. We can't put him in these little boxes. Now, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Y'all know the story. Moses, the staff goes down, snake comes up. And what happens? Pharaoh recoils back and says, oh, you can go, you can leave. Now, what happened? What happened? His magi, same word used later on, pulled the same trick off. Oh, by the way, the scripture did not say they made it look like snakes. They pulled out rubber snakes. They illusion snakes. It said they made snakes. Now, I'm going to challenge you with a thought here, and we're going to build on that thought. And this is the jux to the whole thing tonight. We're going to go late tonight. I hope nobody's in a hurry to leave. Okay. They weren't fake snakes. We got that clear. Now, if God made the real snake, who made the fake ones? It wasn't the Dairy Queen man. It was Hasatan, the adversary. That's what Satan means. It means the adversary. Satan has a certain amount of power, and he tries to counterfeit God. We're going to see that some more. But then what happened? What did the one snake do to the two satanic snakes? Ate them. But did Pharaoh's heart melt and he let the people go? No. Now, you got to understand something. God had told Moses that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart and he was going to do all his wonders. Not a wonder, all his wonders. Before God ever sent Moses, he knew where it was going to end. He knew it and he was in control. A lot of this speaks of his mercy. A lot of this speaks of his power. One thing we tend to do so badly is we like to neglect some of God's attributes. We're so big about talking about mercy and grace and love. He has all those things. He's also holiness, righteousness, and justice. Don't ever think he ever for one second sets that aside to be love, mercy, and grace. Because if he set aside holiness, righteousness, and justice, he would cease being God. That's why Yeshua hung on a tree. He hung on a tree to satisfy perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect justice. And God's enjoying changing my sermon. All right, this is cool. I get to watch. Now notice what's happening here. So what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh said, these old Hebrews, they got time to whine. We're going to give them more work to do. Y'all know the story, no more straw. Got it. Okay. Then comes the next miracle. God says, fine. Go down to where Pharaoh's on the river. Remember, you got to understand, each one of these things God's striking at is a god, a false god of Egypt. Okay? He's actually striking at the religious system on purpose. Just like if we were to strike at Islam's religious system on purpose. Okay? That time's coming. Just hold your horses. Okay, now, he goes to the Nile. Pharaoh's out there, and you sort of get the picture. It was sort of like it was on the movie Prince of Egypt. You know, the barge is there. Pharaoh's probably sitting there drinking his wine and probably getting fanned by some pretty slave or something. I don't know, you know. But Pharaoh is out there, and Moses holds his staff out. What happened? Blood. Blood. All that was red tide. No, it was blood. God said it was blood. He knows what blood is. Don't try to go make some natural explanation of what was done supernaturally. And the Red Sea, they crossed the Red Sea because it was really only 4 feet deep, and God made the wind blow, or the wind blew, or there were rocks sticking up. That would have done good on carts, wouldn't it? Rocks sticking up. No. It was exactly what Scripture said. We don't need to use man's feeble attempts to understand the supernatural to try to explain God. We don't need it. Just take him for who he is. And it was blood, and the fish died. And it even says so distinctly that they actually dug around the river to try to get fresh water. They didn't have water to drink. Ho-ho. Pharaoh's beat now. The Nile was big-time worshipped. Pharaoh's magi. Can't resist that word. We all want to say magicians. It's not. It's magi. It means wise men. Okay. Did the same trick. They made water into blood. Now, I propose to you that was done by the same power that made the snakes. What's next? If I get them out of order, y'all forgive me. But what's next? Right? Okay. To make sure I didn't go to my fourth. I get the fourth and third mixed up all the time. Now, frogs. Let my people go. No. Fine, I'm going to make frogs come out. And they did. And it went on to say they would actually get in their beds. They'd get in their kneading bowls. What's a kneading bowl? It's where you make your bread, right? You knead the dough. Actually got in their food. And contrary to all that want to eat frog legs, they're not kosher, okay? Sorry. But they got in their food. What about the magi? Could they duplicate or not? They could. Understand, for the first three wonders, it's pop, pop, pop. Hesatan, the adversary, is able to duplicate God's miracles. We're going to see that again because we know the anti-Messiah is going to raise from the dead. Don't ever think the adversary does not have a certain amount of power. But the truth is, he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. But then comes what? The dust. Yeah, the dust. And it turns into place. They couldn't duplicate that one. See, God only lets Hasatan go so far. And he can't go any further. And that's a lesson for us in our life, because Hasatan is going to sit there and mimic God. He's going to copy God. There are supposed men of God that are duplicating the miracles of God, but are not of God. You're like getting at me. Oh, don't get offended at me. Scripture itself says there will be those saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name?" And Yeshua said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." That means they were never of God. Now, the trick is, how do you tell a good one from a bad one? Pray for discernment. That's the only way you can tell. And sometimes it ain't that easy. I can sit here and name names, and I couldn't tell you if they were or weren't. But understand, lock stop with God is the adversary until we got to the lice. We go on and go, more plagues. You get a plague of boils. You get a plague of death of livestock. You get a plague of hail mixed with fire and blood. All these things are raining down on God. God's raining them down on the Egyptians. And what does Pharaoh start doing? He starts playing games with God. You know, there's a difference between Abraham working with God and talking to God and clarifying with God and, if you will, negotiating with God, though I have a little problem with that whole concept. But here is somebody who's not a believer. He's not a friend of God trying to do it. Well, you can go, but only the men. You can go, but the kids can't go. You can go, but you can't take your livestock. And every time, plague, plague, plague. Now you notice, the Magi are nowhere to be found anymore. These guys have either gotten executed or skipped town. They're out of there. They're like, we're playing with fire here. We're gone. And God keeps raining down judgment on Egypt. Now think for a second. The whole theme of this is God walking with man. We're talking about a central character that's walking with God. But the bigger thing you've got to get out of this whole loose series is the concept that we now walk with God. He now lives in us. He now breathes in us. He now shines through us. He now works through our fingers and speaks through our voice and gives us power to overcome the adversary. So what happens in the end? Pharaoh played his games one too many times. And he told Moses, "I don't ever want to see you again." And he got his wish, but not like he wanted it. Because God gave his people a covenant. It may not be like you think of the traditional covenants that you hear about, but it was truly a covenant. Because he showed the power of atonement. Now, one of the concepts that separates Judaism from Messianic beliefs is the concept of atonement. The rabbis teach today that you don't need blood to atone for your sins. The problem is, you can disprove that from the Talmud and the Torah itself. You can disprove it using the rabbi's own writings. Atonement is essential. atonement on the night that Adonai himself came down. This is another problem we have. We want to deny who it is that was the killer. We want to pretty it up and, oh, it was the angel of death. No, it wasn't. It was Adonai. Clearly stated in Scripture, without a doubt, it was God himself, not an angel. We actually said those words at Passover. God himself, not a cherub. Right? It said Adonai. Very possibly could have been the angel of the Lord, meaning Yeshua. Okay? So again, God's wrath is just as real as God's mercy. Don't ever forget the two. That's very important. You have to make a choice. You are a child of wrath, or you are a child of the King. You are either on the outside of the wall, or you are inside the city. There's no in-between, and you can't sit on top of that fence. God said, you will take a lamb. It will be 1 year old. It will be spotless. It will be perfect. It will be without blemish. No sin. Understand what the picture is. No sin. And you take that lamb, and as we know from Pesach, you take it into the house, Nisan 10. You slaughter it, Nisan 14. There is a proof on the website, if you want to read it, that Yeshua was killed exactly on, died exactly at 3 o'clock on Nisan 14 as the lambs were being slaughtered. Okay? If you don't like my proof, that's fine, but there's a proof out there. It also shows you the exact day he resurrected, which is Nisan 17. So 3 days and three nights, exactly as Scripture said. God does not make mistakes. And it said you were to slaughter this lamb, and you were to take the blood, and you were to put it on the doorpost, sides and top. And it says when the slaughterer, now interesting, one place is called Adonai, one place is called the slaughterer. Very, very interesting text. You get some fun with a word study there. And it said when God sees the blood, his wrath turns away. His wrath turns away. Here's your question for you. If you slaughtered that lamb and you put that blood on your door, it means you did what with God's word, with his instructions? What's the words? Faith. Pick some other words for me. Obeyed. Anybody want to try trusted? Anybody want to try believed? Though I do use the word trust instead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever trusted in him would not perish, but had eternal life.